Seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I direct your attention this morning to these words that we just heard read from the third chapter of Paul's letter to the Romans from the NRSV. Justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a sacrifice of atonement by his blood, effective through faith. For we hold that a person is justified by faith, apart from works prescribed by the law. These are the words of our Lord. This changed everything. That is the title of a made-for-television series about the Reformation, that movement in history for which we are gathered today and which we commemorate as having begun 500 years ago. That was said in reference to that well-known event some 500 years ago on October 31st, 1517, when a humble Augustinian monk, professor at the new university, in the rather remote German town of Wittenberg, took an action that indeed did change the course of history, not only for the church, but for the world. Now, of course, you probably know what I'm referring to when Martin Luther posted those 95 theses or propositions for debate on the castle church door. It was All Hallows Eve, the day before All Saints' Day, when many would gather for Mass in All Saints, the Church of All Saints there in Wittenberg. The theses were written in opposition to what was called indulgences. Now, that practice still exists today, but not in the same way. In this case, they were simply pieces of paper with a papal seal upon them, which promised, upon purchase, total freedom from all suffering in purgatory, that imaginary place of purging from the stain of sin to prepare one's souls for heaven. Now, the underlying purpose was a money-making scheme, which probably Luther himself did not know about. But he was not the only one who objected to this horrendous practice. In fact, the Roman Catholic Church of today recognizes that indeed it was a scandalous thing and have more or less disavowed it. But Luther was apparently the only one who had the courage to actually protest it in writing, and with powerful effect. Quite to his surprise, it set off a firestorm of activity, resulting in a powerful reform movement in the church, which resonates down to this very day. But actually, the word changed in reference to the Lutheran Reformation may not be quite accurate, because it was not so much change that happened as it was recovery and a return to the clear and fundamental teachings of the New Testament. And in particular, that teaching, which is set so clearly before us this morning in possibly the most clear terms of anywhere in the Bible by the inspired Apostle Paul, as he tells us here that we are justified by his grace as a gift. I'm not going to go into all of the historical details concerning the Reformation, as important as they are, and how they affected not only the church and every individual Christian, but entire nations and political structures, including our own country. But I want to get further back to a question that stirred deeply and very personally in the heart and life of Martin Luther, a fundamental and very personal question, and the question was this: how can I, a mere mortal and a deeply sinful one at that, ever hope to have fellowship with the majestic, high, and holy God of the universe? Through his own personal study of such scripture verses as the ones before us this morning, and through no small amount of personal anguish, the great reformer Martin Luther discovered God's answer. But it did not come easily. He knew that he was a sinner. Nobody had to drum that into him. The words of Jesus are very clear. Everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. This is no trifling matter. This is life or death. This is what is wrong with the world, with people, with humanity, with you and me. And deep in his heart, Luther came to know that all of the prescriptions of the church of his day didn't do it. Nothing he did answered the question that plagued his inner being. None of the rituals, none of the prayers, none of the fasts, none of the endless rounds of confession and prescribed works of penance, none of the attempts to torture and subdue his body, not even the monastic vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience, none of it removed the condemnation of God's holy and perfect law. And he felt that personally. Sin is bondage. But God does break through to us, even to us. Even when we may try, unlike Luther, to cover our tracks and pretend self-sufficiency, bluff our way, and deny that sin really is something that's in here and calling it something maybe that's out there, but not in us. God breaks through, and it might come through much tribulation, trial, and trouble. It did for Luther, but he did not run away from his pain. He proceeded, as advised by his mentor, with his studies and earned a doctorate in theology at a very young age. And he was assigned by his monastic order to teach at the University of Wittenberg as a professor of theology. And no doubt, because he showed unusual insight and promise. Sometime around the year 1513, we can't be exactly sure, he made a profound and very personal discovery. He pondered the words of Psalm 31, which say, "In your righteousness, deliver me." This made no sense to him at all. How could God deliver us in his righteousness when the holiness of God only condemns us as sinners? But a door opened and heaven burst in. And it happened as he studied the words of Paul in Romans 1, verse 17, which he was quoting from the Old Testament prophet, "The just shall live by faith." It is by faith that the righteousness of God is taken to oneself, not by the deeds of the law or by anything that we do or don't do. It comes through the perfect merit and atoning death of Jesus Christ. It is through him that we are declared to be right with God. The version called The Message puts it this way: God makes people right with himself through their faith in Jesus Christ. It is solely and alone through what God has already done in Jesus, his holy life, his sacrificial death, his blood shed for us, that we have the promise of the forgiveness of sins and eternal life with God, and sealed by the resurrection of Jesus. At this realization, Luther wrote later in reflection, "It was as if the gates of paradise were open to me, and I had entered." Indeed, by God's grace, he had. By God's grace alone, he had entered paradise through his faith alone. And the authority for this came from Scripture alone. And it was all because of Christ alone. So what does all of this mean to you and me today, some 500 years later? Is it indeed still meaningful? Does anybody really care about these things today, about getting things right with God? Do you? Obviously, there are lots of things in the world, in our communities, in our personal lives, that are not right. In this life, they never will be. We cannot expect to sail through this life on a bed of ease. As the Bible says, we must through much tribulation enter the kingdom of heaven. We live in a fractured and sin-stained world. But we can have something that makes all the difference in the world, that sustains us even in the greatest times of suffering and anxiety, and that is peace with God. Since the Reformation actually began with a question, let me put a question before you today. Are you at peace? Is there peace in your life? What is troubling you? What is eating away inside of you? What is it that may cause you to toss and turn at night and to struggle to face the day? I'm not going to promise that all of this will just melt away when you know Jesus. But I can promise you that you are going to make it through. And that ultimately you will prevail in the end, and that you will have victory, confidence, assurance, and strength. And that is because you can know and understand deep down in your heart that you don't have to prove anything to God. That you can come before God with humility and confession and simply say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Then you can give up all of your attempts to make it on your own. You can lay down your burdens at the cross of Jesus. And you can say, Lord, I confess that I am a sinner, and I cannot free myself from sin's bondage. But you gave your life for me, and I trust in you, not in myself, but in you, for life with God, for eternal hope, for confident peace. For Christ's sake, you are justified freely. You are put right with God through faith. It is God's gift to you. You have new and unending life. Your baptism was not so much about any vows that you or anybody else makes. No. It is about God's promise to you that you are watermarked with the cross of Christ forever and clothed in His perfect righteousness. The Holy Supper of His body and blood are not about anything that we offer to God. But it is Jesus Himself coming to us, to you, to say, I forgive you, I love you, I empower you for new life, and here is my very real body and blood to assure you of this. And even preaching and worship and the true heritage of the Reformation are not so much about shoulds and oughts on our part, with endless lists of how you have to make this or that happen in your life. No, it is what Luther said in his 95 Theses, that the true treasure of the church is the most holy gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus said it very clearly, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. You are justified by His grace as a gift. You are free. You are free from the condemnation of the law, free from sin's curse, free from death, free to live in joy and love and peace with God. You are free to serve God by serving one another, forgiven for your mistakes, and empowered for His purpose. That indeed does change everything. Everything in you. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.